meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight from the real Cancun. Paul and Jay are both here from the movie. Yeah. Opened last weekend and made a couple million bucks. I think it was 2.3, actually. But
chump change.
I think it probably only cost what it cost to make. Do you have any idea?
No idea at all.
47 bucks.
Yeah. And
yeah, 47 bucks, a couple of quarters.
Case
some bubble
of
gum.
Case of Schaefer. And some water-soluble lube. And how long? So, okay, so it was in Cancun. Have you guys are best friends.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
you grew up in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Inglewood, to be exact.
Inglewood. Oh, it's beautiful country over there. Beautiful Inglewood. Drew, you spend any time in Inglewood?
Not any time, no.
Almost as nice as Gardena.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sometimes I would drive through Inglewood to get to Gardena when I... This is when I was remodeling a decorative box factory in Gardena for some years.
Yeah.
It's a bad time in my life.
It's a nice city, though.
Yeah, you got out of Inglewood.
Yeah.
You went off to college.
Yeah.
And then how did you get signed up for the real Cancun?
Well, me, I'm always trying to get on the real world. So I checked the casting sites all the time. And they had a casting call at USC. And I told him, you know, let's go down and check it out. At first, he was hesitant. So I had to drag his ass, put him in a trunk. And then we went down there and did the casting call, wowed the people. And now we're here now. You know?
And how long did it, well, first off, did it tape just last?
Yeah, last March.
And so it was put together just over, what was the time period, a week or so?
Yeah, we were 8 days in Cancun.
8 days, and you started filming the day you got there, pretty much, or on the way there?
Just right off the plane.
As soon as you got off the plane, started
filming.
What were the instructions to you?
Be yourself.
Just go have a good time?
Yeah, just have a good time. You know, we couldn't talk to the producers. They couldn't talk to us. Just
really?
Be us, you know.
How long did it take to forget about the cameras?
About a day. Yeah, about a day. And then after that, it was like, you know, they're not even there. Sometimes you bump into them, be like, oh, I'm sorry. And be like, whatever.
And so someone was mentioning this, and I thought it was true. You know, many years ago, not too long ago, people get dressed up to go on an airplane. They put on a blazer and an ascot, you know. And if someone was going to take a picture of you, it was a big deal. And if someone was going to film you, you had to act a certain way. Yeah. I mean, you knew there was a camera going. I mean, you'd go...
That was before video cameras.
Yeah, but I could even remember, like, in the later 70s, let's say early 80s, you'd go out front of the Radio Shack, there'd be the little video camera, there'd be the TV monitor in the window, and I'd stare at myself like some primate, you know, just looking, trying to look at the thing, looking up at the thing, looking at the camera, always seeing the side of my head, seeing if I could be faster than my head was. It was excitement to actually see yourself on camera, but... I think a whole generation is now growing up sort of forgetting about it.
Yeah. It's like when we did our first interviews on TV, we were caught looking at the monitors and stuff. And they're like, can you please stop looking at the monitors? We're like, it's just weird looking at ourselves, you know, on
TV. For a couple of local kids, camera, television's kind of spooky.
Now, have your family members, your parents, have they seen the movie?
Yeah. Both of our parents came to the premieres.
What do they think?
Mom. I'll tell you like this. When I came home that night, the locks were changed. And
yeah, on both of our houses.
My bag was outside. And
seriously?
Nah, yeah. I'm just
No, just playing.
Drew, please. Come on.
I thought Bobby kicked his ass.
Well, so it was seven, 8 days of shooting. It just went straight through. There's no storyline or anything. I mean,
nope.
I mean, storylines were forming, but no one gave you any instructions.
No.
Let's put together the right people, mix in a little booze,
yeah,
and
Jose
Cuervo, and have a good time.
Little booze. Did you know what the stories were going to be when you viewed the film, or did you have any idea how it was going to all fit together?
We didn't see anything, man.
When you went to see it for the first time, that was the first time.
That was the first time. You pretty much know that everybody's going to have their own, like, character, basically.
Yeah.
Like, what type of person that guy was.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, we were just like, oh...
So how did it come together?
Were you happy?
Because we talked to a lot of people in a lot of reality stuff who say it was edited to make me look like an a-hole.
Well, for myself, speaking for myself, I enjoyed my character. I was the comedian of the crew, but I don't know how he enjoyed his. And I know a couple of my castmates, they were a little
upset. They didn't get a lot of time. They didn't get a lot of time in the movie, or they were like, I don't act like that. Well, for me, I mean, I liked it. I mean, I came off like the guy that didn't get any action. Well, the girl got action. But
30 seconds of action.
Did anyone throw up? Did he throw up?
Yeah, but they didn't. I didn't throw up. Uh-huh. They were throwing up almost every night. But.
And you guys have never been. I think that's David Allen Greer.
That is. That is.
You guys had never been out of the country before this, right?
No.
You've never been to Mexico.
No.
Nope.
They enjoy. You like to go back?
Oh yeah.
If I had to pay for it myself, no.
No, we had to come out of our pockets. No, nope. We'll stay in Inglewood.
Not worth it.
No.
So all in all, good experience?
Yeah.
Great experience.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay.
People that haven't gone, they should check it out. Save their money.
I think a lot of people sometimes when they do this sort of reality TV stuff feel like they got duped or ripped off or screwed or whatever. You feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
Good.
We do it again,
That's what I like. Because that's what I want to yell at most of these people. What were you going to be doing in lieu of this?
Yeah.
Beating off? Sitting home watching scrambled porn. You weren't doing anything else, you know?
Yeah exactly.
These guys are young enough, they don't know what you mean when you talk about scrambled porn.
Don't get it twisted.
Come on, Drew.
I'm sorry.
We're young, but we know what's up.
They know scrambled porn. All right, let's talk to Robert, who's 19. Robert?
I have a question concerning how you can contract herpes.
All right.
I was at a party this weekend with a couple of friends. And we had made a beer bong, and we were pretty excited about that. And we actually let some other people use it aside from our close friends.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a girl used it who was a lot of experience, let's say.
Yeah.
And we kind of all knew that. And we went ahead and let her use it, and then I went ahead and used it about 10 minutes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And now, about 3 days later, I have some sores in my mouth.
Ooh, good times.
Bad times, yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot. How many people use the beer bong?
Aside from my friends, but the three of us use it.
You know, maybe you got to come down here. Let me look at these sores.
What?
You're calling from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You want to come down here and have Drew look at your mouth?
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
It's real serious. Right?
Is this this isn't bogus? This is real?
No, actually, we'll find out. They're small. They're like almost like canker sores inside my mouth.
No, let me look at them.
Well, sometimes I found, because I used to do the beer bong with just a regular garden hose, and sometimes that brass fitting at the end can be a little tough on the inner lining of the mouth there.
Dude, this is Jay speaking. You there?
Yeah.
You guys knew she was well experienced, and you still let her drink off your bong?
It wasn't my choice. She was just there. She's like, hey, guys, can I use it? And we're like, yeah, sure. And we just let her do it. Yeah,
it's hard to deny it, to deny people the beer bong when the party's going.
Yeah, how did you guys find out?
That's like the peace pipe. That's the peace pipe of the white man, the beer bong.
You need some help, man.
Active people could transmit STDs this way, everyone would have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not really passed along this way.
Yeah, but why not?
You could get oral herpes this way. That may be what he has, but it's 10 minutes later. There's a lot of fluid flushing through there.
What do you think the heave quotient is on the beer bong? I say it's about 1.8 for each heave. 10 beer bongs done.
1.8 vomit?
Yeah.
I was gonna say 3 beer bong per puke.
I don't know. I can't believe it's that high.
Right.
But it's pretty high, maybe 2.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not a real vomit. It's not that I'm sick vomit. It's went down the wrong pipe kind of immediately. Pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only done it a couple times. I'm scared I'm going to bring it back up. Yeah. Oh, you guys see my Crown Royal sack on my day. Are we telling them to come down here?
Sure, go ahead.
It's always a disaster, Drew.
All right, well, then don't.
All right. Peace?
Yeah.
Patience, if he wants...
Oh.
He won't know what he's got unless it comes back, basically. All right, peace.
Nice voice, peace.
Hmm?
You're 16. What's going on?
All right. Well, I'd called the other night. I had a threesome.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
And you had cut me off. But my main question was, I'm keeping the baby. I think I haven't told my mom, but she's very open about sexuality, so.
You don't know whose baby it is, though.
No, but I was wondering if I should tell both of them.
You should tell both of them.
One is your boyfriend, and the other is who?
Neither of them are my boyfriend.
Oh, that's right.
Why would you not tell both of them?
You know, it might not even be theirs, honestly. Like,
oh, my God. Peace, what's going on? When were you sexually abused? How old were you?
Three times.
How old were you when it first happened?
Five.
Okay. Do you see how this happens. Is all the result of that?
Well, I think a big thing is my parents, when they were married, were very open about sexuality. Like, I've seen them having sex.
Well, that only makes it worse. But how did I magically know you were sexually abused? You know, it's the chaos you create in your life and the bad choices and the no boundaries. And
all right, so how far along are you, did you say?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. How about a nice abortion?
No, I kind of want to be a mom.
How about, you're 16, Peace. If you want to be a mom, how about waiting until you're an adult and then be a good mom, a capable mom?
Well, my mom was 18 or when she had...
Yeah, and look what's happened.
Yeah, look what happened to you.
Well, I mean...
Having threesomes at 16.
And watching your mom have sex.
I always like when people use their own horrible parents as examples. My mom was only 17. Yeah, she's a junkie. She had 14 kids. She's in prison now.
My parents were hippies.
Martha Washington?
No, my parents were hippies.
Your parents are horrible parents.
They traumatized you. They're really bad parents.
No, the three...
Peace, you talked about her having sex in front of you and stuff.
Parents are a disaster.
Like, the molestations, one was my grandfather, the other one was just some guy.
That has to be your mom's dad.
Hey, Peace, this is Jay talking, sweetheart. You know that's a big responsibility you're about to take on, right?
Well, the baby?
Yeah, the baby.
You're truly not ready.
Oh, he was talking about that moped you were thinking about getting when you got your learner's permit. You know, those things take two strokes. You got to oil the chain.
And she smokes a lot of pot.
No, I don't. I've never taken drugs.
Really? Yeah. You got that laugh.
So you did the threesome sober?
I have a lot of friends that has babies at a young age, and they can tell you right now that is not a responsibility you want right now.
No, well, I would enroll it in the daycare.
It's
more than that.
You'll hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah,
no,
you'd be a great mom. You just punt the kid into the daycare and go about your business.
Why don't you punt it all the way over to the adoption services and then?
Okay, but there you go. I have another question.
Yeah.
I have visions of my molestations when I have sex sometimes.
Yeah, those are called flashbacks.
And I have sex very regularly, and sometimes I'll just go to the point where I'll let the guy do whatever to me, and I'm just immersed in a nightmare.
Yeah, those are dissociative experiences. It's a post-traumatic stress disorder with dissociation and flashbacks. And that's about as serious a psychiatric condition as you can have.
Okay.
And still not have a thought disorder. So it's important you look into some treatment.
Peace.
Yeah.
Either have an abortion or give the kid up for adoption and get some therapy because of all the trauma.
I can wait.
What's that?
Well, I can wait.
Are you in school?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure?
No, I think this is just bogus at this point.
No, just...
You're just really a little bit nutty, right? Will you gain weight if you get pregnant?
No, I mean, after... I know I'm going to gain weight for the baby, but am I going
to
lose it?
You've got to have bulimia, too.
Bulimia?
Yeah.
Oh. I was anorexic first.
Yeah, there we go.
Peace, come on. You shouldn't be raising a hamster. You understand?
But I thought maybe it'd make me more mature.
No, it won't. You'll destroy another blood.
You want to be more mature, you wear more mascara.
Not only will your life be destroyed, but the baby's will. So.
And mine, too, because I'm going to have to pay for everybody.
You would pay for my baby?
Would you pay for
my abortion?
I'll pay for the abortion.
I would. True.
We'll all pass the hat here.
Yeah, we would.
Well, I mean...
But listen, I need three estimates.
Yeah.
You
work on your house
like you
much.
Backed into my car or something, and I need to go to the body shop. Listen, Peace, go down to Planned Parenthood and throw yourself on their mercy. Would you please?
Yeah,
do it tomorrow. Come on, baby. You
got to
get some counseling. All right? You've been through a lot.
Counseling?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Everyone needs counseling. Everyone but me.
But no one more than Peace.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. God bless those hippie parents.
Oh, they did a wonderful
job. Great. Wonderful.
Dynamite people.
Way to go, parents.
Oh. Yeah. Goddamn hippie parents. I had a hippie parent. They're horrible. They sit around and smoke weed all day. Sit in the room and yell freak out. Or such a plans about the man. Don't stand too close to the microwave. It'll give you brain cancer. Meanwhile.
Yeah, they're screwing your brain in many other ways.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
My mom thought everything would kill you, except for the one thing I actually should have done was put some goddamn sunblock on me when I went out. That's the only thing she didn't do. Everything else, the fluoride in the water was going to kill you, the microwave's going to kill you, the pillow was going to bend your spine. All the stuff turned out to be nothing. There's one thing she could have got paranoid about that I would have actually thanked her for, and that would be a little PABA cream on my head before I went out.
I feel bad, man.
Got none of that.
My mom said everything would put my eye out.
Nah. Oh, really?
Yeah,
dude. That's normal, mom.
That's a good mom.
That's break your neck and put your eye out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, my mom said the man would put your eye out. She hated the man.
Don't have oral sex, it'll put your eye out.
Oh, boy. Mike.
Hey, I had a question about masturbation.
Yeah.
If you masturbate when you're sick, does it, like, prolong your sickness?
No, because I did it when I was, you know, sick, and it actually healed me.
Yeah. You flush out the evil toxins.
Yeah.
Your body is trying to preserve resources to fight the illness, and you are sort of losing some chi, as it were, when you masturbate.
Well,
But I don't know of any evidence that it actually prolongs the illness or changes the course of the illness. However, you know, if you're feeling well enough to be able to do that, and very few things take the wind out of a man's sail, but if you're feeling well enough to be able to do that, it's probably safe for you to do that.
Yeah, go ahead. Right. Nothing wrong with self-love, Mike.
Don't let nothing stop your self-loving, man.
You know.
Thanks, man.
All right, Mike.
Bye.
All right. But, you know, he's strong enough to beat off 8 times on a Tuesday, but he can't make it into school.
Right, of course.
Yeah, he's like, I'm too tired, Mom. I can't make it.
That peachy folder's so heavy. Cleo?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah. Okay.
What's up?
About 2 or 3 months ago, I started having dreams about my father doing things to me sexually.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And I don't remember barely anything before 4th grade. And I don't know if it means something or...
Well, it means you ought to just look into things a little bit. You know, you know something's going on.
Well, where's your dad now?
In the house.
He's in the house?
What do you remember about him?
I honestly don't have any memories of him before, like, 4th grade.
How about after 4th grade?
Well, there's all the name-calling and swearing and...
So he was emotionally abusive as well, right?
Yeah.
To you?
I'm sorry?
To you?
Yeah.
Mm. And your mom.
Hey, but now are
you bitch!
Are you in college now?
That was not old yet.
Not yet. Right now.
My mom was also emotionally abusive to me.
Your mom was.
Are you in school?
Are you living with them?
Are you working? What are you doing?
I'm on disability right now, but.
Right now.
Mm. Right. Yeah, hold on. We gotta explain to our guests. Right now. So it's always the worst answer. Like what? Ask me what I do for a living.
What do you do for a living?
Well, right now,
like it's going to change.
Right now, you're not a doctor, attorney, or heading up a Fortune 500 company. If you start with right now.
And she said a little twist. She said, "I came right out with the disability." Well, I'm on disability right now.
Yeah, it was the only twist. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But if you say like you're going to college, right now, it's not going to Harvard. It's not on the dean's list. You're the right now. Light now is usually followed by junior college, some junior college store working.
Or disability.
Temporary disability, something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cleo.
Yeah.
So, listen. Right now, you're living where?
At home.
At home.
Here's your first order of business. You get off that disability. What do you want disability for?
Depression.
Depression, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Get yourself a job. Find your way off that disability. Move out.
Yeah. You have any friends, Cleo?
No.
Right now...
You got to
get some friends. Cleo,
yeah.
Listen to me. I know why your dad's a pain in the ass, your mom's a bitch, and all that kind of stuff, and they brought you down. But you just collecting a meager check once a month and sitting at home and sort of melting into the sofa is going to kill you. You got to make yourself move.
Yeah, you got to get some sunshine.
What meds you taking now?
Meds?
Yeah.
Okay. Effexor, Neurontin, Clonazepam... Whereas Pampurin, Terzone.
Put that all in the beer bong. You take it in the morning.
Do you have a borderline personality disorder?
You got it. Yeah.
Borderline is a tough
tough
diagnosis. It's tough to work and stay out of hospital.
All right, well, let's talk about this for a second. Cleo's in bad shape. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there that are in somewhere between sane and Cleo.
Yeah.
And
also on disability.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of just general depression out there. And the problem with depression is it's like arthritis. It stops you. It's hard to move. I mean, I was depressed for years. It's hard to get up. It's hard to get out. It's hard to move.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And if I didn't have to go to work or I would go hungry, I probably would have just stayed in bed. I mean, if a check would have come in, even if it was just enough to buy a can of beans and pay the rent, that would have been it. I wouldn't have moved.
Yeah.
And I think, and I know it's a weird sort of catch-22 thing, but as painful as it is, you have to force yourself to move.
I think there's something to that, but old Cleo here is a little more complicated.
Well, she's a little further down the road than most.
Yeah.
But I'm talking to all those people, not necessarily Cleo. You got to set an alarm. It's got to go off in the morning. You got to get up. You got to do some push-ups. You got to break a sweat. You got to go to work.
You know, just enjoy life.
Move.
Yeah, try to enjoy life.
Even if you don't enjoy it, just physically participate in it and act like you enjoy it. That's what I'm doing now.
Maybe some volunteer job. Kind of like work at the animal shelter or something. Somewhere, you know, where you can just get some
she's
feedback.
She's active.
Yeah. Active and some feeling of worth in what you have to offer.
And so many people we speak to are living in the place that was the abusive place. And whereas everyone else I know was out of the house at 18 or 19, they didn't mind the house. They're ironically 23, 24 and still there, and they hate their folks. So there's a weird dynamic that goes on there. But all right, Cleo, take care of yourself, please.
Yeah, take care.
Let's take a break. Jay and Paul are both here from The Real Cancun, which is out in theaters as we speak. Last week was the first week. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay and Paul are in studio tonight. Jay and Paul are from The Real Cancun, which is out in theaters nationwide as we speak. Jay and Paul are two good buddies. Met when they were kids, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
In Inglewood, here in California. Yeah. Went off to separate colleges or same college?
Separate college.
Which would you go to, Paul?
Mine, I went to Xavier University in New Orleans.
And Jay?
I currently attend El Camino College.
Out here?
Yeah.
Junior college.
Yeah.
And you guys, Paul been trying to do The Real World for some time, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just submitting
18.
Tapes and that kind
Loser.
Of stuff?
It's just,
how many years did you submit tapes?
I never submit tapes, but I've been going to open casting calls for like the last 3 years. Since I turned 18.
And when you found out about the casting call for The Real World, or The Real Cancun, you got Jay, and you went down there to check it out.
Yeah, actually, I needed a ride, so he had the car at the time.
Huh.
So.
Now, you were out here from... what were you doing out here?
I was on taking a break from school because I owed $3,000.
Right now, let's see, you got to start.
And then,
you owe the school money, so you're back here temporarily.
Yeah.
Are you living at home, or what are you doing?
Just me and my mom, stepfather.
Back in a beautiful Inglewood?
Yeah. And right now we're just doing a publicity for the movie right now, and then if it carries on, then if
is Xavier outside Baton Rouge? Is that where?
You got it.
It's at New Orleans,
It's not really New Orleans, though.
Yeah, it's like deep in New Orleans.
Oh,
like
it?
Right by, you know, Bourbon Street and all that. It's deep New Orleans. Then you have Kenner and...
Xavier College?
Yeah. It's a small black university.
Oh, really? Because there's that...
The big one in the...
It's in Ohio or something,
yeah,
right?
Everybody says that. Like,
oh, that's Xavier.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks I'm at that one, but I'm not at that one.
How hard is it to get in a black college if you're black and you just go...
Extremely hard.
It is.
It's not hard at all. As long as you have a good GPA, it's okay.
So why are you not in school?
Because I owe money.
He owes money.
That's just a trick to keep him down.
Yeah. they're bad with paperwork, I tell you that. But that's their downfall.
Only with your paperwork.
Yeah.
Man, I've been in New Orleans, and then I went on this parade that went out of New Orleans and sort of through the back streets of Louisiana. It gets pretty dicey or pretty rural quick out there.
Those float parades go out of New Orleans?
They keep going.
What do they call those groups? The clubs? The little... The clubs, that they each have their own king and stuff?
I don't know. There's a million parades over there.
Yeah, but each one is by a club. Like it's a little,
by a
city sponsor. These parades literally go down side streets and turn around cul-de-sacs and like come back. And there's these fat, toothless people just out there. And they have parade ladders, you know. They have these ladders. They're like A-frame ladders with high chairs on it. Yeah. And there's like they got their five-year-old up there. But he's holding a sign that says, like, bitch, show us your tits. You know? It's great. Yeah. And, you know, the thing that was funny, I told this to you before, Drew, but we were last-minute fill-ins for Tommy Lasorda, the Dodger manager.
You guys are throwing
me and Jimmy. Yeah. And they didn't change the beads with the medallion of Tommy Lasorda on it until the beads of Adam and Jimmy. So we were up there just... And people go nuts for these beads, and it's fun. But I mean, I'm almost like tore a rotator cuff throwing those things because you're just sitting up there. The thing that's funny, I'm in a pirate outfit. You know, like it's not that like I work on a pirate show or anything. It's like you're in a parade. You got to pick a theme. Pirate is the most popular. So next thing you know, you're in this crappy pirate outfit, and you're up there. And if you like throwing stuff, and as you know, I like to throw things.
Sure. Yeah.
You're up there. You're 15 feet above the street. Everyone's down below you, and people are going nuts.
Yeah,
they want them beads. They want them beads. And they're in the back of pickup trucks that are in parking lots, like 40, 50 yards off the route. And a guy will see you, and they'll start waving. They'll be like, yeah, I don't have a basket or something. And you're just, hey! You'll throw the thing. It'll go way around. It'll hit somebody else. It'll bust. It'll land on a roof. You start getting out of range, too, because it's moving real slow, you know? Yeah. So you start, you do another effect where you start winging them and let it go like it's like you're David trying to trying to slay Goliath. And it's good times. But everyone would grab the beads and be like, yeah. And then they'd look at it, and they'd see Tommy Lasorda's picture. And they could never quite figure
They'd be
out
like,
what
wow,
was going
Tommy
on.
Lasorda got skinnier.
Yeah, but it didn't even look like the badge didn't even look like Lasorda.
You had a little too much fun.
I had a good time. I was dressed like a pirate.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to bing people with beans, with beads too.
Thank God it's like 180 degrees.
Yeah, very hot.
Nicholas.
Yeah.
You're 21.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I got a bit of an acne problem, and it's not on my face.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my back. And chest.
Unfortunately, the back is the most difficult one to treat.
It is.
You are not kidding.
Yeah.
Why?
Most of the treatments don't work.
No, they don't.
Have you tried Accutane?
Yes, I've tried everything.
Oh, boy.
Nothing. You got a good woman?
Huh?
Good woman will help that.
Oh, you're so
funny. You should get at it. Women will get at it. Women will look at you and go, ooh, and then 10 seconds later they go, oh, let me get that one.
No, they just say, ooh, then leave.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's got to be a little weird, like when you're taking your shirt off if you're with a woman for the first time.
How long are you on Accutane for? How long are you on Accutane for?
I wasn't on it long.
How long were you on it for?
Probably about 6 months.
Have you tried like UV light?
Yes, I've tried tanning booth.
Yeah,
nothing works.
Does it help at all?
No.
Actually,
after I turned about 16, 17 years old, everything I tried just irritated it, made it worse.
My goodness.
My doctor told when I was about 16 years old, told me that it was on my back because I had long hair.
Oh, really?
Well, that's nonsense.
Well, he said it was because I have my hair was naturally greasy and...
Nonsense.
You know, greasy.
Greasiness has...
Hold on, I'm picturing a giant zit with a mullet on top of it right now, like... And a pair of those, like, wraparound blade sunglasses on the front. I mean, is that what you guys are seeing?
I'm just imagining who this doctor is told him was greasy hair.
I know, greasy hair.
Don't go back to him, man. Seriously.
Yeah, that is seriously effed up stuff.
Throw away his numbers.
Throw away his number.
Yeah. Did you cut your hair after he told you that?
A couple years later.
Took a couple years.
Your HMO.
Yeah, a couple years.
Yeah.
That's a shrewd move there.
Well,
I don't know what to do. The only thing that's even come close to clearing it up is an old Indian woman I know told me to use egg whites.
Egg whites. All right, well, what can you do topically? Like, that OxyTen will dry them up pretty good.
Yeah, benzoyl peroxide, but it doesn't work too well on the back. There are things like Retin-A and whatnot, and there's Accutane. I think he might want to go get a consultation maybe at a university dermatology department, see if there are things they can maybe inject steroids in there sometimes. Sometimes there are hormonal manipulations they can do. You need something fairly advanced for this, though, Nicholas. And it sounds like the kinds of available resources where you are not so hot.
All right. What do you do for a living?
Me? I work for a farmer. I'm farming.
Farmer. All right. All right.
Maybe work with your shirt off.
Yeah, scratch up against that salt lick.
Let the sun sort of beat down a little bit. And see
sun, that. Sun do it good, right?
Well, sun will control it, but then it makes it worse afterwards because it, like, kenifies the skin. So.
You know the worst part about the backsit is not being able to get to it. Yeah. Somebody's got to invent a backsit popper.
Another great opportunity for you here, Adam.
It's nothing worse than
maybe
not
the heated couch.
Get it
like they get the back scratching now, the zit popper, you know, they'd be in the game.
Yeah, it could be like a... Could be something that you mount with a suction cup on your bathroom wall, you know, that you lined up. Maybe some kind of laser sight that went over your head. You can line the zit up and then just lean back into it. Pow.
No, I'm saying, you just get some bananas, mush it up a little bit, throw a little flour in there, mix it up, a little milk. I'm telling you, man, I'd take that right away.
Bananas, milk, and flour?
I'd take it right away.
No. Really?
What, are you trying to make a cake?
Yeah, that's nothing.
I'm telling you, man.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Have you done that before?
Nah.
I'm just
giving suggestions.
That's why he's in junior college.
Abby?
Hello?
You're 23. What's up?
Hey, first off, I want to say I love your show, Adam. I love all your shows. And Dr. Drew, you got a real nice voice. I heard you, singing voice. I heard you on Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. You heard him singing.
He's got a nice voice.
Yeah, he's got a great opera voice. Come on, Anderson.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You want to hear it again, Abby?
Why not?
Yeah.
It's perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. That's true, everybody. Your brother's like opera, right? That's your music, right? It's your thing, right? Every time you guys pull up one of those Escalades, I hear this blaring from it.
I know. What's the big dude's name? Fettuccello or something like that? What is that big dude's name?
That'll definitely get the ladies.
Let me say this. I don't want to offend our guests, but I was driving next to a brother driving an Escalade today on the freeway, and I noticed he had those rims that
keep
spinning.
The spree wells.
Yeah, I dream about those, man.
Kept rolling. Even when you stop, looks like you're moving. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I know this is probably something that the black men are attracted to more than the white men, and that's fine. They got no problem with that, but seems like a bad idea with the cops here in L.A.
Yeah.
They tell you to pull over. They come walking up the car. They look down. They see the rim spinning around. Next thing you know, there's gunshots. Yeah. It's the kind of thing maybe the Jews should get into, but I don't know about the blacks. It seems like a recipe for disaster. That's all I'm saying. Like you could use those rims with a pair of pants that made it look like you were running when you were standing still something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, think about it. I'm not trying to be offensive, but there's a lot of bad cops out here.
Yeah,
they walk up, they look down, they see that thing. Yeah.
Especially
next
in
thing
Culver
you know,
City.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they think you're fleeing.
Hey, watch your mouth, man.
Even when the car's still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that, Drew.
Hizzle for shizzle, dizzle.
Yeah, those rims, those are nice rims.
Yeah, very expensive, too.
They're going to cause accidents because I was hypnotized by this guy's rims while I was on the freeway going 80 next to him. I was just staring at them, like mesmerized.
Could you tell that they were still...
I immediately knew something was going on with the rim, and I'm sure it looks better when you come to a complete stop and they're still rolling. But even while the car's rolling, the rims are kind of turning the wrong direction and stuff. Yeah. All right. Then a cop started shooting at him because even though he was going 65, the rims were going 180. All right,
pull over.
Yeah. Where were we? Speaking of Abby over here?
Yeah.
Abby?
Yes.
All right, so now what's up with you?
Basically, I love, I look, you know, I view internet porn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right,
man,
yeah.
Me too. Great, I'm
man.
A big fan.
Don't be ashamed, man.
No, like Dave Chappelle said, I love internet porn. Basically, I'm checking out the porn, you know, I'm fondling myself, you know, pleasing myself or whatever. And I usually start, you know, masturbating to the point where I'm about to bust.
Right.
But I don't actually let myself go. I do this for, you know, roughly, I'd say about 45 minutes, you know, more or less. I'll do this, not every night, but I've been doing it for about, I'd say about a month now.
Yeah.
And basically,
every night. Translation.
Not every night, about eight nights a week. About 8 nights a week. Not every night.
Nah, I mean,
eight, nine nights a week.
Not every night, but 14 or 15 nights. Yeah.
Right.
Three, four times a week.
Right. Okay. What's the question?
Basically, I want to know, because afterwards, I never, you know, sometimes I come to the point where I actually bust, I let go, but sometimes I don't. I basically want to save myself, I guess, for another day to let, you know, to make it feel that much more pleasurable. Mm. So I end up just taking a shower, I go to sleep, and, you know, obviously my balls are aching afterwards because I haven't busted.
Sure.
And it feels like I'm about to come, and I just basically wanted to ask Dr. Drew if this is healthy, or should I be letting myself go
you got to clean the pipes a little bit
more.
Yeah,
man.
That really irritates your prostate, and not the healthiest thing to be doing. When your body's ready to have something come out of it, it kind of needs to keep coming.
Yeah. Just make sure you have a towel next to you, man.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah. And by the way, that's a good point. Anything that's trying to come out, a baby, a cramp, a sneeze, some wee-wee, semen, it's all got to come out. If it gets to that place, it's got to come out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You try to grab it at the end, it'll hurt you.
Yeah.
I always feel that way when there's people that sneeze.
Yeah.
You know, they pinch their nose off.
Yeah, what is
that? All the time, man.
Oh, he's an idiot, this guy. What about sitting down and masturbating? I work with a guy who has theorized that he's hurt himself. He beats off sitting down too much in front of the computer.
Nah.
Nothing? Nah. It's hard to argue with him, though. He's a smart guy.
Is there a limit to how much you can beat off, man?
There's a limit. Your body will sort of stop at a certain point.
Nah, you
but
sure?
There's not some sort of formal limit. Like each person has their specific number.
I've went 8, 9, 10 times.
Jay, you have not hit that limit yet?
Nope.
You gotta.
It gets to the point where you get the feeling, but nothing comes out. You just
That's
like a powder.
That's the limit.
Yeah, powder.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Jane Paul here tonight from The Real Cancun.
Yeah.
We will be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jane Paul are here tonight from The Real Cancun in theaters as we speak nationwide. And I imagine our audience would be the audience that would go hit this movie.
Yeah.
We will get back to the phones and speak to young Ted, who's 17. Ted?
Hey.
Hey.
Adam, I just wanted to say thanks. You helped me out this one time. I called because my dad was hitting me, and you're all like, go to the cops, and I did.
Right.
And we're in therapy now, and, you know, it's going good.
Oh, good. When did you call?
Oh, God, it must have been 6 months ago.
All right. Was your dad drinking, or what was the situation?
Yeah, no, it was sometimes he was drinking, sometimes he was just pissed.
All right. And the cops got involved, and you guys went to therapy together?
Yeah, we got this family therapy going on.
And how's that going?
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's helping.
All right, good.
Oh, yeah,
also,
great, man.
I don't know if you remember this. It's probably a year ago. You were saying about the military for us super tards out there that drink Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Yeah, I joined up them. I joined with the Army.
You did?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Good. When are you going in?
I'm going to basic training this summer and then active duty after I graduate.
Good. You just missed the war.
I know, that's cool.
Perfect timing.
I know.
But yeah, don't worry, in a few years, no one will be able to do the math.
Yeah.
Chicks will figure you're in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Tell them you took out Saddam and Bin Laden.
Yeah, but it was good that you called, man, to tell the authorities about your dad, man. Sounds like you're more happier now, man.
Yeah. The Army brings me to the next question. I'm going in next week to get a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, how long does weed stay in?
I'll be watching you.
Depends how much you're smoking, but if you're smoking every day for a few years, it can stay in a couple of weeks.
No, I was maybe like four times a month.
No, you'll be
week,
fine.
Something.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, and how long? A couple
Are
weeks?
Serious?
Three, 4 days.
Three, four days?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, I should go hit it now.
No.
What about, Drew, what about if you urinate a lot?
No.
Doesn't do anything. No different.
No.
So, let me just ask this.
Yeah.
if I have, let's say I got a drug test in 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and between now and 48 hours from now, I'm just chugging tons of water,
yeah.
and I'm just whizzing my brains out. Doesn't do anything to it.
I can't say it doesn't do anything, because you're obviously going to have a more dilute urine going in, but probably not measurably or significantly.
Better than not taking a leak for 2 days,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Cool. I heard cranberry helps, too. Cranberry juice.
Yeah. Here's the deal. If you adulterate your urine, we're going to know it, and then you got a positive test.
Yeah, but you can say drink a bunch of cranberry, like cranberry juice.
Well, the same as just fluid.
All right. Just go to the health store, you know.
Give you a psychological edge going in.
For all my friends, y'all heard that right. 3 to 4 days.
Well, that's if you're 4 times a month. If you're a daily podcast,
your
friend's
going to be 2 weeks, yeah. You're a college buddy. I know what goes on.
Yeah, we take them to the health store, though.
Stay off the pipe.
Yeah.
In fact, I've learned that if somebody owns a hacky sack, we just turn them away.
Yeah. Drew actually checks their instep of their foot. If they see hacky sack wear on it,
Done.
They go right into the druggy bin.
Wow.
Maria?
Hi.
You're 19?
I'm 19.
What's up?
Right now I've been with my boyfriend for about 8-9 months, and he's the second guy I've been with. And the problem is, we just recently have started having sex, and when we have sex, I don't know how to explain it, but it's kind of like it gets so wet down there that he doesn't feel anything or I don't feel anything.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's not normal.
Well, it's some women have this.
Yeah, he doesn't have the LD.
What's the LD?
Latter-day Saints?
Large dick.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a little pond just swimming in a big ocean.
Really? Is he small, Maria?
He's normal.
Even normal with these women that have excessive secretion can sort of not feel anything.
Is there any way, because my partner before, my first boyfriend that I had, it was nothing like this. And the man I'm with right now is much larger than my last one, and I don't know if that's the difference or...
Are you more into this guy?
What was that?
Are you more into this second guy, the new guy?
Not really.
Are you on any birth control pill?
No.
Are you on
any medication?
Oh, no, hope he isn't.
Average
listening.
Dick, not really.
Are you on any medication? Any medication?
Well, this guy you're with now is bigger than the first guy, right?
Much, much bigger.
But the
other one wasn't as big.
Yet she felt the first one.
Yeah, a little bit.
More than the second one.
The second one,
please
answer the
track
question
with us, please. Yeah.
Okay.
First one you felt more than the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
Then that seems strange. He was significantly smaller. She's not more turned on by the new guy.
No.
Yes.
Does he have bad breath?
Not on medication.
No.
And maybe that's just her as she's gotten older.
Are you creating much more fluid than you were with the first guy?
No.
All right, hold on a second.
How could that be?
Let's just do the coos
like,
math here for a second.
Like, what the hell?
Here's what Maria's said to us thus far.
Yeah. I have a lot of fluid.
I've been with two guys. The first guy was significantly smaller than the guy I'm with now. The fluid level was the same.
But a lot.
But yet, I had much more sensation with the first guy, who was much smaller with the same fluid level, than I do with the second guy, who's much larger.
And I'll remind you, her opening statement was, I create so much fluid that my boyfriend doesn't feel anything.
Right.
Now, fast forward till about 3 seconds ago, I said, are you creating a lot of fluid? No. Not a lot of fluid.
She said that?
Yeah.
Maria.
You're on the witness stand.
Okay, so how is it, and I know you don't know, but are we correct in all these, this recount here?
You are. I'm creating much more fluid with the second guy than I was with the first guy.
All right, well then that would be the answer.
And that may just be...
I don't know how to calm it down or it's...
All right, you may not be able to. It may just be you as you've gotten older. It may be that you're more into this guy than you realize, or that he's able to sort of...
It's the motion in the ocean.
Yeah, you may be having sort of a female ejaculation that's sort of filling
things
up.
How about you dump a little kitty litter down there, sop it up, like when the transmission leaks in the driveway?
Are you multi-orgasmic?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's multiple orgasm stuff.
But I don't feel anything. You are so lucky.
But you still have...
She doesn't feel anything.
Are you multi-orgasmic?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
But you don't feel anything?
Not with him. It becomes so... Well, I could only make myself orgasm more than once by myself.
Okay. So you got to be by yourself.
Yeah.
What if he gives you oral sex?
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't like that.
Well, I'm going to give you my number, and you just go ahead.
He doesn't like the oral sex.
All right.
He doesn't like it. I've never asked. Right,
here's the deal.
Get him to do it.
It may just be you as you've gotten older. It may be the relationship. It may be the way he sort of works with you. Sometimes progesterone-containing birth control pills can reduce some of this stuff, so you might think about that.
Doesn't sound like she's quite in love with this guy.
No.
She's just using him for his...
But he doesn't give her any oral.
His natural pleasures.
Yeah. Who cares?
All right. We got the guys from The Real Cancun here tonight. Jay and Paul both here. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jay and Paul are here tonight. They are from The Real Cancun, which is out in theaters as we speak. You've seen the commercials. The commercials are... There's certain things that remind me to masturbate. Commercials are one of those things like, hey, what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's masturbation time. What's going on?
Yeah, a lot of hot girls.
Sort of like a smell, huh? It's like, what is that? Oh, yeah.
Time to eat. Yeah.
The movie encouraged, you know, interaction with other people, but and self-love.
A lot of people were saying that now the jig may be up a little bit, that the parents now have a clear view of what's going on over there. But I would argue that, you know, MTV was doing their spring break thing for 12 years or something.
I was down in Florida this year, and... never seen so many alcoholics and sex addicts in my whole life.
Really?
I mean,
really?
Have you ever been to Cancun?
Am I right? Who's there?
Well, that's everyone in spring break.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Now, Drew, what are you going to do? Because your kids are going to go to college.
They ain't going to.
They'll go somewhere, and there's going to be some kind of spring break.
They're going to spring break in Anchorage. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it's like, don't even give me the proposal, huh? Don't even think
it'll
about
be fabulous.
It.
Fabulous.
But I mean, you know,
I'm gonna start a new trend.
I need an 8-page report from my kids on why you want to go to Cancun.
I gave a talk at one of these clubs. I looked across at that. Oh my God, why am I even talking? These guys are
all loaded.
Yeah. Loaded and sex addicted. They're like you know, trauma survivors. I just saw trauma all across the
really?
Whole audience.
That's good.
And then when you have, you know, half naked girls walking around and alcohol, two and two, just.
They had a lot of wet t-shirt contests, a lot of hot body contests. They have like the belly flop contest.
Nah.
I do enjoy the belly flop contest.
I figured you would.
Yeah. But Cancun is really not a lot of big people there. Everybody's petite. And,
yeah, but usually they bring in a couple ringers for the belly flop contest. But then once in a while, the skinny dude takes it.
Yeah.
Skinny dudes win a disproportionate number of belly flop contests and hot dog eating contests.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There'll be some Chinese guys, 135 pounds.
Yeah, I saw they beat the big black guy.
Taking on 400-pound guys and beating them in the hot dog eating. And then once in a while, a guy wins the belly flop competition, skinny man.
Yeah, like our skinny man, he won the hot pot.
He did?
In our movie, yeah. His name is Alan. So everybody's all cock diesel and skinny
Alan's
guy.
Like a buck 05.
Yeah.
And he won the...
High bot. It's very funny
See,
in the movie.
He was loaded on Jose Cuervo, so...
Yeah.
He did some things that wowed the crowd.
Is he the guy that said he would never... He'd never
yeah,
drunk before?
That's the guy.
Yep,
never
you got
drink.
It.
So he never... He'd never been drunk before.
No.
And then he started boozing when? How far into it?
Like the second day, man. Yeah, he held real strong, man.
Yeah, because we were roommates together.
Yeah, we were all roommates. And
right.
They're like, you're not going to take a drink, man? He's like, nah, you know, I don't feel like I have to drink to have a good time. Then everybody's like, you're a punk, you know?
You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with you?
Why did you even come down here? You know,
you know what I'm saying? If you're not going to drink, why didn't you even come?
And then I think one of the girls was like, I'll show you some boobies.
You take
a shot, and he has a thing with boobies, so he was just like...
Yeah.
Just took it.
He's like, show me the boobies.
And after that, he was just...
Came on.
Yeah.
Now, was he a different person drunk?
Very different.
I wouldn't say different. I'll just say he was more, you know,
psychotic.
He was more out there, I would say.
Yeah, his confidence
went
his confidence builder was like, boom. Yeah. I mean, when he got there, he was talking to me and him. He's like, you know, I can't get any girls. And,
you know,
he took that shot and he was like, hey, baby, come here.
Yeah.
You see this? I'm with the real Cancun.
You know,
you
want to
be in a movie? Come
taking
down
a
here.
Shower with three girls. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was he from?
Texas.
Lubbock.
Yeah. Lubbock. Oh, and so the people came from what colleges all over the country?
Georgia, Texas Boston Tech, College. Boston.
Boston College.
UNLV.
Yeah.
So it was a sprinkling of people from all over the country.
Yeah,
and I guess that's probably how they wanted it.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going here and speak to Kenneth, who's 28. Kenneth?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good.
I got quite a few questions, actually.
All right.
We'll dig this. Here's the thing. I was orphaned, and then I was adopted by my aunt.
How do you get orphaned? How do you get orphaned officially?
Just like dropped off, you know.
Where'd you get dropped?
My mom was about 15, 16 years old, you know. You know, mid-70s, she likes to party, you know. So
sure.
she drops me off at my aunt's house.
Right.
You know, technically. And she leaves me there for about a year and a half, you know, and then wants to come back and get me. And my aunt says, well, look, I'm kind of attached, you know. I don't really want to. So they go through this big court thing. Now, here's the weird part is that there was rumor that my aunt actually... And I know this might sound far-fetched, all right, but my aunt actually paid the judge about $30,000 and put me in a body cast so that it would appear that, you know, she was able to take care of me, so to speak, because she was going against a, you know, 16-year-old, you know, burnout hippie chick, you know.
Okay, so let's just make sure we're on the same page. Mom drops you off at the aunt's house
right
when
on.
She's like 15, 16.
Right.
Your aunt... keeps hold of you. Hold on. Aunt. Excuse me.
How old?
The aunt keeps hold of you.
Excuse me. Auntie.
Aunt.
How old is your auntie?
The auntie keeps hold of you.
How old
the white
she?
Guys say aunt. The black
right.
guys and the English guys say aunt.
Right.
How old was she?
Okay,
auntie.
So your aunt is how old? Yes.
My aunt was 30.
30. So yeah. She's 15 years older than your mom.
Right.
This is your mom's older sister.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And she raises you for a year and a half.
Right.
Then your mom wants you back.
Well, you know, she just comes back and says, hey, he's mine. I came to get him, you know.
Let's just say yes. She wants
yes.
you back. Okay.
Yes.
Your aunt does not want to give you back.
Yes.
So now there's a court battle.
Yes.
And your aunt puts you in a body cast?
So I'm told.
Well,
so you don't remember.
No, I mean, I was, no, no, here, listen, I was in a body cast, but... I was told that it was because I had a dislocated hip when I was born. The doctor smacked me, dislocated my hip. This is what I was told as a child.
That's an angry doctor.
Yeah, there's no such thing as that. You can dislocate your hips because
right.
they weren't properly checked, and babies can have lax hip that can dislocate and cause arthritis, but you don't go in a body cast for that.
No, right. But and I would ask my aunt, my adopted mother, I would say, you know, why don't I have a scar? She said, oh, well, they did it with a Raj, you know, and but you gotta understand, I'm a kid, so of course I'm gonna, you know, believe what she's telling
right, but
me. But
how did your aunt get a doctor to put you in a cast?
I mean, I don't know, but I have pictures of me being in a cast with a bar between my legs, and I'm in a cast from my
toes. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Got it. All right.
So maybe that was a legitimate thing, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now she says she has to take care of you. So the
okay.
All right, just listen.
It gets a lot more interesting.
Well, so what's the court do?
Well, the court gives my adopted mother custody, and I live with her.
Okay.
The adopted mother's your aunt.
The auntie, right?
Right.
Well, just call her that, please. Don't start swapping titles. It gets confusing.
Okay. So call her my aunt.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got my aunt got custody of me. My biological mother, she, you know, skipped town or what have you, went ahead with her life.
Right.
All right. Can I skip ahead here? Say,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
please.
Go ahead.
Please do.
Actually, bring it all the way through to the time I'm home beating off and drinking red wine. That's about an hour 25 from now.
Okay,
please.
No, listen. Okay, I skip ahead, all right, 18 years.
Today, Junior?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm getting to it. Listen, skip ahead 18 years. We're in her apartment. She's tipsy, I'm tipsy, and she sits on my lap. And
who, your auntie?
Mom.
Oh,
no,
wow.
No, my biological mother. She pulls her skirt up, mm-hmm. all right, mm-hmm. and places my hand on her ass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, I'm thinking like just a male, right?
You're how old?
Oh, hell no.
I'm 18.
That sure, point. Sure. We've all had a go in our mouth.
Now, listen. Yeah. Now, because I didn't spend a lot of time with her, it seemed like she was more like a friend of the family.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
I promptly picked her up and took her into the bedroom.
And wrecked shop.
And she told me, we should not do this. I'm your mother. Ooh. And I said, you know, look, come on, baby. You know, we're...
Sure.
You know, I mean, it...
You got your game face on.
Right, yeah.
Right,
Listen.
I
understand. It's the bottom of the ninth, and I got to hit a home run. All right?
No, but the train was leaving the station. I got that.
I understand. I've been there. Saturday night.
No, I don't understand.
You got a couple wine coolers in your mom's looking pretty good.
No, but
We've all been there.
Listen, this isn't... But it's like the friends of family. It's not like, it's...
All right, yeah. All right, here we go. Right. You had no relationship with mom.
Right.
We get that.
So,
even though
so you have sex with mom.
Okay. This is
and by the way, I don't blame Kenneth.
Right?
Hang on. It has to have some kind of effect on you in some sort of primitive biological level. A. B, the really messed up person in this whole equation is the mom.
Right.
Yeah,
because she was an adult when she gave... Hang on. Okay. I hear this more. She was the adult when she gave birth to you. She saw you grow up. She knew you as a child, and here she is doing this crap to you as an adult.
Right.
And she had a relationship of sorts with you from an adult position.
And here's the twist. He gets her pregnant and gives birth to himself.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
All right, so then what happened? Wait.
Okay, well, listen. She came down with cirrhosis of the liver.
Right.
She became
Fantastic.
A crack and heroin addict.
Yeah, I was going to say, she already was a heroin addict. That's how she got the cirrhosis.
And
chronic hepatitis
C. Okay, and did she pass along?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Now, you got to get checked for hepatitis.
How long ago?
No.
How long ago was this?
93.
And you've been...
You got to get checked for hepatitis.
Yeah.
Tell the doctor you were sharing a joint or something. You know,
yeah, don't tell him that. Get your mom.
You know, all the details, but
yeah.
But okay, but listen to this. Then my aunt told me that my biological mother's dad had a relationship with his mother. Now, when she told me this, I said,
"Wait! Biological mother's dad?
Yes.
Yeah.
So her dad. Well, her dad undoubtedly was a piece of work."
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right, so, Kenneth, listen to me.
I'm delighted,
you know,
though.
You know how many medications I...
All right, but listen, Kenneth, listen. I got just a couple seconds left here, so I'm going to lay out a quick plan for you.
All right.
You got to get checked for hepatitis, all right?
Yeah.
Just tell the doctor you had sex with someone you thought may have hepatitis.
B and C get checked for.
B and C. All right.
But doesn't this make me just
quiet down? No, it doesn't
trap,
mean you're just a victim. You're victimized. Okay. Quiet down. Listen to me. Secondly, you need to not have any kids. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Right on.
All right. Third, you got to get some therapy.
Some treatment.
And
she's
then
he's on meds. So.
Okay. Fourth, stop beating yourself up. You had a horrible, abused life, and you get on with it.
With my mom.
Stuff out there about trauma survivorship, because you are a trauma survivor all through and through.
Yeah. And, I think as a guy, like as a woman, and we talk to these women all the time, when their dad has sex with the daughter, this is, they're victims, clearly. I mean, this happens all the time in society. You know, our hearts go out to these poor women who are clearly victims. But when the son does it to the mom, we don't look at the son. First off, we don't hear it that much. And then secondly, we don't look at him as the victim because he's
male.
The male.
Yeah.
And he's on top of the woman, you know. But he is just as much a victim they were.
Here's what you have to think of. Victimization implies some sort of a passive paralysis and being, you know, what he was exploited.
Yeah. Right.
And exploitation is a form of victimization. So.
Exactly.
All right. So, Kenneth, do not beat yourself up.
No, not at all.
Don't beat me up. Don't beat anybody up. Just go to the doctor one step at a time. Annie?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. Every time I get around a guy I'm extremely physically attracted to, I have a physical reaction, nervous reaction, to the point where I fainted last year and I went to the hospital.
Mm.
And two, like, I break out in hives. My teeth chatter. And it hasn't always been like this, but it's probably been like this since I lost my virginity, I'd say.
How long ago was that?
About a year and a half ago.
Mm.
So who was this guy you fainted in front of?
This comes right after
saying, oh, my goodness.
That was little JoJo.
For you, Adam, you're wishing for somebody to faint, say, oh, my goodness, and then faint?
Yeah. You mean when we're having sex?
Yeah.
So I can finally get some anal. That's why she had to go to the hospital. It wasn't because she fainted. No, what were you doing with the guy when you fainted?
Okay, I had met this guy. I had seen him before I met him for weeks at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just very physically attracted to him, and I had a class with him, and we never really spoke. We just said hi or whatever, and one day I talked to him, and I turned really red, and I calmed down, and I broke out in cold sweats after class had started, and then I stood up because I had to, you know, make a little speech or whatever for my sociology class, and I fainted in front of 200
feels like a champ.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so this is like a swooning thing.
Did he know that it was because of him?
No, everybody thought, you know, oh, maybe she hadn't eaten, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, you know, only my closest friends found
That's
out.
Good.
What
went on. Yeah. Well, it wasn't embarrassing.
No, not too embarrassing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was.
Humiliating, but not
embarrassing. Well, it's humiliating, but you didn't, the class didn't know it was because of the guy.
Yeah.
No.
They just thought you were nervous because of your speech, that's all.
Yeah, but I mean, even like the first guy I slept with, right before it happened, I started shaking so bad. It freaked me out, and it freaked him out because he didn't know what was wrong with me.
Okay.
Are you having panic attacks or any other kinds of anxiety symptoms?
That's the only time I freak out.
Okay.
Maybe developing a panic disorder. You're right in the right age group for that to start happening.
True.
If you're going to get that.
Yeah.
What about stuff like taking taekwondo or something? I mean, what if you got involved
yoga.
In some sport that calmed you down, that gave
do
you
yoga.
Confidence? Yoga, all right.
Yes, 3 times a week, and it's great, and it's very, you know, calming. But and it went away for a while. I'd say, like, the last 6 months I was doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, it, you know, like, lately there's another guy that I think is really attractive, and, you know, I don't even think he's straight, but it's just his physical, like.
Oh, wow.
Well, look. Here's the thing about guys. We don't mind if you're a little embarrassed or you turn a little red in front of us. If you like us, it's nice. It's flattering.
Yeah, very
We're not going to worry about that.
No, yeah, it's not like a woman where a woman wants the guy to be confident and not have those sorts of reactions. Guys have none of that in them.
Right.
They're fine to see you.
Yeah. Just with a smile. Yeah.
They prefer you to be vulnerable.
If a woman sees a guy and his teeth are chattering and he's looking down at his shoes, they might be turned off.
Might be.
Or think you
probably be turned off.
Yeah.
Right. But if a woman is a little nervous, like she's meeting a rock star or
That's
something,
cute.
Yeah.
We like that.
That's cute.
So she needs Annie needs to first just realize that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She may be embarrassed. The guy's not going to be embarrassed along with her.
It's a good thing.
And
it's uncomfortable, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, just say, maybe a little therapy or something, but just write it out.
Just pay attention. Right. If you really start having panics, it may be something that may need to be treated.
Erin?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been on methadone, and I need to know a good way to get off besides the way they want me to.
They gave you that for heroin?
Originally for Demerol, and then I got into heroin, yeah.
Well, why do you want to get off?
A number of reasons, but basically I hate the clinic. I hate their philosophy. They give me problems about my meds for other things. And
what other things?
I have panic disorder with agoraphobia, depression, and I'm in a wheelchair.
Are you taking benzodiazepines?
Yes.
I know. Why are you in a wheelchair? Because you're lazy or because something's wrong with your life?
I was carjacked a while back.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
What happened?
It was a black man.
No, it wasn't a black guy.
No, it was skinheads.
Skinheads?
Oh, that's even worse.
Worse than black guys. Even worse.
Even worse.
If you could imagine somebody worse than a black man, it is a skinhead.
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. If you're going to stay on the benzos, you might as well stay on the methadone.
Why?
Because if you're going to try to get sober, you've got to come off everything. And if you're on anything that activates that reward apparatus, it's going to change your thinking and create drives, make you unstable emotionally, and create a very... It's a very unstable situation to be on benzos when you've been on opiates. There's sort of no worse combination.
I can't leave my house without the benzos.
Well, then you might as well stay on the methadone. That's my question. Why? What's your goal in getting off the methadone? If it's to get sober and
I want to get away from the people there.
Well, that's a bad plan. Yeah. Then go to a different clinic then.
What happened with the carjacking?
What do you mean, what happened?
It was a carjacking.
Well, there people get carjacked and aren't confined to wheelchairs.
They hit my T3, T4, and L2 vertebra.
So you were shot?
Gunshot?
No, with the bats. They shattered it.
And so now what? Now are you paraplegic?
I have a Foley catheter, and yeah.
You got a catheter?
Yeah.
And so from the waist down, no feeling? And is there any hope that any therapy you're doing, or any physical therapy, anything like that?
I stopped it.
You stopped it? Did they say you'd never walk again? Or hold on a second, I got to talk to everybody here.
This isn't paraplegia.
It sounds like between the drugs and between what's going on in her head, the wheelchair's a good place for her right now. I just mean for her emotionally. It seems like, I mean, she's been through a lot, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it seems like.
She's in a wheelchair because of pain, not because of paraplegia.
Really?
Bet you that's what it is.
All right. Okay. Where is she, Drew? Line
six?
Six, yeah. Aaron, are you in the wheelchair for what? For pain?
Well, because when I try to stand up, I fall.
All right.
Because it hurts?
No, because there's no feeling. Yes, I have pain, but it's not... It's in my upper back.
What do they want you to do as far as... did you ever get victimized when you were younger?
What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, okay.
Nothing at all, of course.
Were you raped or physically abused?
Yeah.
You were? Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Who did this?
Dad.
Dad?
Yes.
Yes?
I'm answering for you.
All right, thanks. Aaron... No, I'm asking Drew.
Yeah.
You dating anybody?
No.
No? No. What's your favorite show?
I don't watch TV.
Crank Yankers.
Oh, yeah. Good answer. Thanks, baby. No, Aaron, listen. You got abused growing up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's part of the problem of what's going on today. And it's something you got to look at or you got to deal with, all right?
Okay.
All right. I know you're angry.
I know you don't like
men and all that stuff, but you gotta get going with that.
Right now, you're responding to everybody as an archetype. Everybody is abusive dad. That's all wired into your system now, and so you experience everybody as attacking you and exploiting you and abusing you, and the only way you can tell your tale of woe is through pain. And understanding that is not going to change it, but there are ways that can be changed. I'm a no fan of methadone, but I don't think you're somebody that probably should come off at this stage of the game.
All right. And
you're a really good doctor. You know that?
He's the best, this guy.
Very good.
He's the love doctor.
You make me want to just express myself.
You know, I'm having problems at home.
And also, the people at the methadone clinic that are maybe telling you what to do or you don't like some of the regimens or things like that.
Don't listen to
them. I bet it's Aaron.
Of course. It is.
Yeah. So, come on, baby. Let's go. I mean, here's what ends up happening. These poor people that get abused growing up, and then society ends up abusing them because of their attitude and because of their disposition. You could hear how angry she was. You meet, like, you talk to her for 30 seconds, you want to start yelling at her. Mm-hmm. And this is a person that her dad probably did horrible things to them. But this then becomes their life. And I think we get angry, and I know we do on this show, but in general, when we hear people sort of lying to us and lying to themselves a little bit, and I don't even know if it can be classified as lying when you've been abused that way. But what we hear in Aaron is somebody that needs to go to physical therapy, that needs to quit BSing herself, that needs to get past whatever happened in the past and get into some therapy now focusing on her sobriety.
A candidate for some of these newer therapies like EMDR, these rapid eye movement therapies and stuff to help people specifically through traumas that are stuck in that. So,
all right. Cool. We'll take a break. Jane Paul here tonight from The Real Cancun, and we'll be right back. everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay and Paul both here tonight from The Real Cancun. It is out. It is nationwide. And it is in theaters as we speak. We will hop back to the phones and speak to Dwayne, who's 23. Dwayne?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've got this hard... I'm not sure what it is underneath my nipple. It just kind of appeared there about 2.5 weeks ago, kind of overnight. And
do you smoke a lot of pot?
No, not at all. Never.
Are you on any medication?
None at all.
Is there anything coming out of that? Anything coming out of that nipple?
Nothing comes out of it, and it doesn't hurt at all. I can push on it really hard, and I get no pain whatsoever.
Well, it's probably something called gynecomastia, which is just a growth of the breast tissue, just like a woman gets.
Well, he gets a lump under the nipple.
However, men get breast cancer, too, and it is something that needs to be looked into to make sure it's not that. And even if it is gynecomastia, you need to figure out why you're getting that. That's something that can happen to 13-, 14-year-olds real commonly, but at 23, that's kind of a little older than it should be.
Has it been around for a while?
If I push on it for a while, it'll get smaller and kind of go away, but then it comes back.
Yeah, you got to get this checked out. Is you're on no supplements, no medicine, no nothing?
No, nothing like that at all. I don't even take aspirin.
All right.
The only thing I thought maybe is I was working out a lot for a while, and then I went on vacation and I haven't since, and it's been about a month, and thought maybe it was like a hormone thing.
Okay. Well, what did I just explain to you? Okay. Listen carefully. Could be breast cancer. Could be. Probably not. It's probably something called gynecomastia. Yes, a hormone thing, but not physiologic. Something's causing it, and you'd have to figure out what. Okay?
All right. So you go to a doctor. You get a man.
It's not that you just stop working out.
You get a manogram and the manogram.
Stop pushing it, man.
Too bad you're not doing the man show anymore.
Yeah.
The manogram.
You're sitting there pushing the darn thing.
That's gross. It's squeezing it.
You know, if I had a booby, I'd go at it, too.
Trying to milk his nipple. Yeah.
Lindsay?
Hello.
You're 22? What's up?
So my problem is that when I'm coming close to orgasming, my hands, my right one more than my left, starts to clench up, like it cramps. Mm-hmm. And then also my face kind of starts to go numb.
That happened to me once, and I crushed the VCR remote. I was so tensed up that I actually, like, the $6 million man,
watching that scramble porn
into powder.
That's the Jake Steed, Freakos and Flows.
You know?
So, all right. That's your thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of worrisome. I don't know.
No, you're just kind of you're hyperventilating, probably.
Yeah. I get that reaction all the time.
Yeah, breathe.
Yeah, just
slow.
Breathe,
breathe out through pursed lips. Slow expirations, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's it.
You speak. Why breathing out through pursed lips? It doesn't let you hyperventilate.
Yeah, it slows it down. Yeah.
So you do that.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean
prolongs expiration? Well, some sort of pursed lips. Whatever you're comfortable.
Oh, the breath.
Y'all hear that, ladies? For all y'all out there to
breathe out through the pursed lips.
Don't hold it in. Just
don't hold it in. Just let it all out.
Lee?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, this is really hard for me to say because he's probably listening, but I am very, very sexually attracted to a 40-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of freaks me out because I don't even know if that's normal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me.
It's normal to be. Listen,
I had a dream about him the other night. I'm like, ew. I'm really horny.
And what is your relationship with this guy?
Well, I work with him, but
was he your boss?
All right.
I'm not gonna say.
We'll go yes, unless he's the world's biggest loser.
Well, you know he's listening, so just go ahead and get it out.
Working the deep fryer at 40.
you having an attraction to somebody like that is completely normal. Him responding to it would be a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't flirt with me or anything. Like, he does, but it's not...
On the level that you
hard.
Want.
It's not like he smacks my ass or...
Did you say he was married?
Yeah.
That makes him more exciting.
What's hot about him? Is it his looks or what
it's
is it?
Actually
it's that gray beard.
It's
that cane he uses.
It's that old pipe, you know.
Yeah, the way he strokes his long beard when he's thinking.
He actually
Drew's 43, so watch out.
He has his stuff together, and he has his head on straight, and then he's got this, I hate to say this, but he wears these tie pants, and I can see his thing.
Oh, his
okay, I see, that's what kind of girl you are.
Yeah. Not like that, but yeah, it's so weird to see it, because he pushes it out, and I'm like, oh, God.
He does his little hip thrust, so she'll see it.
Huh?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, he always tucks in his shirts, yeah.
So, what, is this a restaurant you work at?
Gotta be.
Yeah.
I know guys who manage restaurants.
Yeah.
It's really weird, because he's got these big old brown eyes, and every time he looks at me, I'm like, oh, I can't look at him. I'm like,
I know you're getting moist. You're just like,
yeah. Putty.
You sound like you're getting excited right now, aren't you?
Yes.
See, this now,
I don't know. I can't see how that's normal. You
all right,
know what
well,
I mean?
Wait a minute.
See, there's still hope, Doc.
Is it that he's married and kind of forbidden
fruit?
No,
not at all. He's actually supposedly getting divorced.
Oh, yeah, that's what they tell everybody. Yeah. That's
spread
the story.
That around my office. Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're getting divorced.
His wife and I mean, stuff. He's not his wife. I mean, not really cheating, but he's dating other chicks while he's married. And
How old are the chicks that he's dating?
What's up?
How old are these girls? How old?
Probably 30. One of them he was telling me about has two kids, so I'm going to guess 30.
Mm-hmm. All right, so listen, Lee, do you want to get caught up in that mess?
No.
No.
All right, have your fantasies. It's fine. Go get a boyfriend.
Yeah. Catch him in a dark alley.
I don't know. I can't really meet anybody that I'm picky, kind of. I have to see this guy like 5 times a week. I'm like,
yeah, but you're picking up momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a guy and God bless women, they can do this stuff, you know? I mean, what I mean is, you know, this guy's not great looking. He's kind of an idiot, you know?
He wears tight pants.
They start building
a case, yeah.
They start building a case
and
for somebody.
And if Lee starts talking to one of her friends, the friend will get attracted.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like they get
you're
contagious.
You're right.
He is
cute.
Yeah. Oh, my, I see what you mean. And they start fighting over it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
but I don't know what it is with guys who manage restaurants, but they're
just
the
power.
Guys.
It's just the power that he can fire you at any time.
Yeah, it's even worse.
He can demote you from flipping.
They make your schedule.
Yeah.
You want that Saturday night shift, baby? Or do you want to be here Tuesday afternoon with the truckers giving you nickels? So I make your schedule. They always make that announcement, too. I'm going
to
go back and think about the schedule.
I get you laid.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to make the schedule. So anybody want to say anything to me in my office before we do that? Any guy who makes a schedule has chicks into him.
Yeah.
Even guys wanting to blow him. I'll blow a guy if he's making my schedule. You know, if a guy says, Adam, either you're coming in at noon or you're coming in at 6 a.m. I'm like,
it's your decision.
You need a blowjob, buddy? What do you need? What's it going to take?
Man.
What's it going to take to get me in at noon? That's all I'm saying. What do I got to do? All right. Let's talk to Jim, who's 27. I knew that guy was a restaurant manager.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
You're 27. What's up? She didn't say anything about restaurants. What's up there, Jim?
Yeah, hey. I just called. I've taken about a sheet of acid. And
tonight?
No. Within a month, I would take it 2 times a week.
Right.
Please don't laugh at me.
All right.
And I used to just kind of mellow out, listen to Hendrix and the Doors and stuff, and just, you know, have a good trip. And
sure.
Now I seem to be paranoid when I go outside. It's hard for me to just even go out and mow the lawn. And
yeah, the LSD will damage your brain. There's no doubt about it.
Man, let this stuff
And move. There's something called a post-hallucinogenic perceptual disorder where you stay kind of locked into being high a little bit. You still kind of feel like you're in a dreamlike state.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, right now, huh?
And what happens in that post-hallucinogenic perceptual syndrome is you start getting panic attacks and then depressed, and the depressions are intense.
Well, what the F could I do about it?
Well, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to a psychiatrist or an addictionologist who has experience with this, because it's a hard thing to treat. And you need to get some help right away.
Hey, listen, I just want to say, Drew, I think you're brilliant. Adam, you're a genius.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, but listen, get in there. Take care of this, buddy.
Jim over here.
Yeah, but this is a treatable condition, but it's something that's going to need treatment ongoing. And go take care of it, because terribly, the kids I've talked to that have this, it is incredibly uncomfortable, and it doesn't get better by itself.
So people that do this, do they have like a proclivity to have panic attacks and whatnot?
Oh, absolutely. Panic and then really intense depressions follow.
All right. Take care of it, Jim.
All right,
thanks.
All right, hey, good times. What's up?
LCD? Is that what you call it?
It's called post-hallucinogenic perceptual disorder.
No, what's
it? LSD, from LSD.
LSD, okay.
Yeah, so wow.
Let me try to get to another bottom of another black stereotype. Not a bad one.
He's going to talk about oral sex.
No.
No?
No. I'm talking about hallucinogens.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, the brothers aren't into the hallucinogens. Right. They ain't into it.
Nah.
Now, they are into the weed.
Yeah.
And the thing that's funny is amongst the cracker community,
mm-hmm.
the guys who smoke the weed...
In the CC?
In the cracker community,
yeah,
yes.
The, CC, yeah.
The guys who smoke the weed do the mushrooms
yeah.
and do the LSD
that's
as
right.
well. Then they're the other side of the cracker community who does the boozin', and those folks lean a little more toward the X and the Coke
mm-hmm.
if they're going to do a drug other than booze.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's true.
The brothers... The BC, the black community, they smoke tons of weed, but never go into the mushroom and LSD thing.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No. Now, it's weird because the equivalent white guy would be going into the mushrooms
yeah.
because we like that kind of high. If you're into that sort of groovy high, that pot high,
mm-hmm.
then you go. The next step is the mushrooms. Now,
yeah.
what is that?
I don't know.
Man, it's just something that, you know, just the weed just
doesn't
relaxes.
Appeal, I guess,
yeah.
I could say.
And then weed just does it.
But did one black guy do it and tell everyone else it was no good? Like, did Snoop come down from the mountain and go, listen, y'all, I tried some LSD. It's no good. You got to get some gin and juice. This is no good. Like, how do they all know?
Well, I see in the African-American side tree, I see more pot and cocaine.
That's, yeah, but never yeah. the LSD.
No,
and or
not, not even. And the other thing that the white guy does is the pot. Then
cracker.
The cracker does is the white then the speed.
Right.
The white, the marijuana then the speed.
Right.
And yeah. I don't see that in African Americans.
And then some of it is word of mouth too. You know, and what we see from
yeah,
other.
Yeah, it is word of mouth. A lot of it is word of mouth.
The brothers aren't too into the speed either, are they?
Nope.
No.
No.
Not so much.
My experience once, and then somebody would be like, "Nah, that wasn't."
That wasn't good, man. Everybody.
But the Xanabars.
They like the Xanabars. What is that?
Xanax.
Oh, Xanax. You guys like the Xanax, huh?
Yeah. All right. Some like X, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah. again,
less so.
Yeah.
But the wheat, straight.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a wives' tale out there that black males have larger penises.
True, please. That's completely inappropriate. How dare you? All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Jay and Paul are both here from the Real Cancun. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jay and Paul are here tonight from The Real Cancun, which is out in theaters all over the United States.
Go
and
see it.
Funny movie.
I'd say if you like this show, you're probably going to enjoy. That's probably going to be your thing. I think our audience is
prime
for that demo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's let's get to a few more calls here and speak to Ashley, who's 19. Ashley.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi. The other day, like it was on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I went with my best friend Jenny.
Yeah.
We went to Disneyland mm-hmm. for his sister's birthday, and we ate like probably about 4.5 grams of mushrooms each.
Right. Not black, right? You're white, right?
I'm white, yeah.
Yeah, see? That's my point. That's my point.
I know. I heard the conversation earlier, and I didn't think you guys would put me on because I'd be talking about the same thing. But,
yeah.
I don't know. I went
it's
to
actually
Disneyland.
More of a reason to put you on if you really think about it. But so you got okay. really high and you went to Disneyland and what
yeah.
happened?
Well, normally I take mushrooms with Jenny. She's my best friend. Like we've been best friends for like 5 years.
Yeah. You keep
she
using her name though. She may not be your best friend after a while.
Whatever.
All right.
No, I don't know if she even listens to the radio, so it's okay.
All right, someone will tell her. Someone will tell her tomorrow.
Somebody will.
It's all good. So she was with her boyfriend, and I kind of felt weird because, like, it's normally just me and her, and, like, I feel very vulnerable when I'm on mushrooms. And we were in Disneyland, and the last time I went to Disneyland, my parents lost me there for 4 hours.
Right.
And, like, I freaked, and I was really little, and, like, so I started freaking out because I was, like, I was tripping out anyways. But and then I went back to her, like, the hotel that we were staying in, and I started feeling like I was dying. And
yeah.
so for the past 2 days, I've been waiting to die.
No, okay. That's a panic attack.
Yeah, I've had anxiety attacks.
Yeah, you're having panic. And unfortunately, once you have panic, as you heard from that last caller, once you start having panic from hallucinogens, they keep going.
So, but better some mushrooms.
Better
than
mushrooms than a bunch of acid. I'll give you that. But even pot sometimes will open up these panic attacks. It's like a circuit gets open in the brain and then fires.
Lightweight.
Well, actually, whatever.
Okay, but this has been a couple days.
Yeah.
All right. Drink some green tea and mellow out.
No,
it's going
to
go away.
No, it's going to have to be treated.
Give her a couple days.
It's going to need to be treated.
Hold on a second. First off, you're gonna freak her out if you get into that talk, number one. Number two, give it a goddamn week before she goes in and talks to somebody.
All right, I'll give you that. All right.
Please, because mushrooms can screw you up for a few days easily. I mean, you can get really scrambled.
What the hell was she 19 at Disneyland? What the hell were you doing there?
That's the thing you do. You get high on the mushrooms.
Get on the teacups, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just go spinning around.
Yeah. Try screwing one of those animatronic bears. Go nuts over there. Everything's freaky over there. Everything's crazy when you're high on mushrooms.
I know, drawers and everything, yeah.
Yeah. Ashley?
Yeah.
Okay. You had a bad trip. So here's the regimen. No more mushrooms, no more hallucinogens.
Period.
No more. All right. I totally have fun every other time.
Just too bad. You're done.
You're done.
Give it up.
Yeah, keep the habit.
You have damaged yourself.
You're done, Rock.
Maybe you damaged yourself.
Yeah.
Let's just assume you didn't for the time being.
But you will if you keep doing it.
Right. Yeah. So you got to maintain, baby. No more of the drugs.
Stick to the weed.
And if you're still feeling this way by Monday, go see a doctor.
This is treatable, and it might need treatment.
It might.
Okay.
You never know.
Just give me a call. I'll fix it for you.
Everyone I know is that mushrooms has been a little weird for a few days afterward. Yeah.
Gotta wait until the high goes down. Yeah. They're good.
And Drew, you say you're the man. You understand you compound things when you tell them. You tell them they're gonna be this way for the rest of their life.
You're like, are you serious? Oh no.
You just tell them good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Oh boy.
You're 19.
Hello.
All right.
Call it. There she is.
What's up?
Hi. Yeah.
Hey.
Go.
Sorry?
Okay. You're on a cell phone. Speed it up.
Okay. There's like lumps on my boyfriend's penis, and I was just like wondering, like, is that natural or?
Those are his balls.
What do they look
they're
like?
They're under, right?
What do they look like?
Well, they're kind of like white. Sort of, but they're really small.
It's probably the pearly penile papules, something we haven't talked about for a long time here.
Where is it on his penis?
Like right underneath the head.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Just put a little spit on it, he'd be all right.
They don't look like warts, though, right?
No.
Not little cauliflowers or skin tags or anything?
They're, like, very small, but you can notice them. Or, like, if you run your hand across
the that's probably the pearly penile papule,
yeah,
I bet
just you. Just a little slobber and he'd be okay. You clear that right
You don't think it's a wart?
Are they symmetrical?
That's a big word for
She doesn't
her.
Know what that means.
Sure.
Are they?
Not sure.
Well, here's...
She hasn't brought
do you
her
know
jewelers
what a, You know
yet.
What a wart looks like?
Yes, I know what a wart looks like. So these are, like, smaller.
Okay, so then that's probably that.
And a little slobber, he'd be okay.
You're all right, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a little slobber on there. Maybe a little dookie. All right. That'll clear it up. Or just a bigger fish to fry. You guys love the dookie thing.
It takes all kinds out.
It really does. Quinn?
Shoot.
Hey.
You're 20. What's up?
I'm up here at the Navy base in NAS Lemoore.
I know how you get down.
Yeah.
Where is that?
NAS Lemoore up in California.
All right.
NAS Lemoore?
Yes.
Was that a city?
Basically.
All right.
It's called NAS Lemoore?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Naval Air Station.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But that's not the city. What's the city?
Well,
the
Naval
city's
Air Station,
in Lemoore.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Go ahead, Quinn.
I got a PRT tomorrow, a physical requirements training.
Yeah.
And I got to run a mile and a half. And my father-in-law was telling me this morning that if you have sex the day before a large physical exertion, you get weak in the knees.
He doesn't want you to bang his daughter, that's all.
Did you ever see Rocky? Yeah, women weaken legs, remember?
Yeah.
What's
I don't know.
That was the first one. I know what you're talking about.
Raging Paul.
Rocky. It was Rocky.
Every boxing movie. But listen, Quinn, that's not true.
It's probably BS.
Yeah. Is it BS then?
Tell him. Well, I don't know. Tell him you're right, Pops. I'm going to have your daughter blow me.
Yeah, go ahead and break her back out, man.
I did that before I went to play ball once, and I wasn't right. I couldn't catch a breath or nothing.
Yeah. What do you got to do a mile and a half in?
I have to run it in less than 13 minutes.
Oh, yeah, you're good, man. You can walk that, man.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
How much do you weigh?
About 185.
No.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead and give her the magic stick.
Yeah, she got the magic stick.
You'll be fine.
All right, thanks.
You know, Burgess Meredith is yelling at him. Women, wicked legs.
Oh, yeah. All right. You're right. They thought you got... I mean, this is something they thought for a long time, that your knees got weak from being with a woman.
Yeah.
But now, nothing. As a matter of fact, they think that your testosterone levels go up
a little bit,
if you're, active. Yeah. So you makes sense. Yeah. So you need that as an athlete.
Yeah, you do.
All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Dr. Drew. That's the show, everybody. I want to thank Jane Paul for coming in here from the Real Cancun. Had a good time with you guys.
Good times.
Want to tell everyone to go out and watch the Real Cancun. If you like this show, you're going to like that movie. It is in theaters as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You know how many medications I do.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.